Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be with you all this morning. Glad that you made it out for our church service today on the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany as we move quickly towards the Transfiguration next Sunday and then on into the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday happening February the 14th on Valentine's Day, on the same day as Ash Wednesday. I think that'll make for some interesting preaching on Ash Wednesday. We really are glad that you're here this morning to receive the Lord's gifts with us. We also welcome those who are tuned in on the radio and those who are watching later on the website or the app. Thanks for being with us this morning. And our service today begins with our processional hymn, and that's hymn number 663 in your hymnals. It's Rise My Soul to Watch and Pray. And we do invite the congregation to please stand for that hymn and turn towards the back and face the cross for our procession. So please stand if you're able, and we'll sing our opening Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Only you, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our own unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. All our sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our introit from Psalm 13. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. We continue with our Kyrie. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power from the troubles of this life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the prophecy of Isaiah in the 40th chapter. We begin in verse 21 of our reading this morning. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. The Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. If I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If we invite the congregation to please stand at this time for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel in the center of the nave.
Written that you may believe that Jesus.
Son of God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We sing our doxology. Would you join us in confessing our faith together to the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten not me. Being one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us as one just God. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sit at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again for glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, a little hope for the resurrection of the dead, and a life of the Lord to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing together our hymn of the day for today? That's hymn 398, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Computers. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, there's a computer. There's a computer in your house, probably. There's one in your car. There's one in your pocket. There's one on most people's wrists. They're everywhere. And not that that's a bad thing. It's just important to remember that with our technological age and all the screens that surround us, paying attention to your screen time, because you can mess up your life. New studies are showing trends among people and the raising of things like social anxiety going on right now, because partly to screens, screen time, isolation. Also, sleeplessness was on that list. People not able to sleep enough at night because of the screen. There's side effects to these things. It's just good advice to keep in mind. But speaking of computers now, have you ever heard of this computer term? Indexing. Indexing. Might not know what that means. Some do, I'm sure. But indexing is what a computer is doing constantly while you're doing whatever you do on the computer, right? Maybe you're typing a letter, working on a spreadsheet, looking at your pictures, or just surfing the internet. Well, all the while in the background of your operation, there's another operation going on the computer called indexing. And that's the computer looking through all of its old files, all the files on the whole machine constantly, in order so just in case, if you decide you need to search for something in the little search window on that computer, and you type it in and hit boom, so that thing can pop up in a split second. Constantly, the machine is indexing and indexing and indexing. And you might think, well, Pastor, what does this have to do with the Bible or me? A lot. A lot. In our epistle reading this morning, the Apostle Paul is giving us a blessed gift from the heavens in what he's teaching us. See, it's clear in the text that the Apostle Paul really doesn't see the gospel or the reality of his salvation in Christ as something he possesses, but rather more as something that possesses him. Woe to me, he says, if I do not preach the gospel. Jesus is not a trophy on his shelf. His believing isn't something that he did and others need to do. He doesn't see his faith in Jesus as a status that makes him better than the people around him. And he's not unwilling to slum it with the likes of unbelievers and heathens. In fact, he does a lot of that in the scriptures. His faith is not a reality that's intended to just keep him pure and distant from other sinners in order to protect himself. Rather, it seems like Paul's perspective is exactly the opposite of all those things. Did you hear what he said in our text? It's verses 20 and 20 through 23. If you want to look again, he says, to the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside of the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. And I've become all things to all people, he says, that I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Okay, think of it this way. A childhood game of tag. In that game, there's usually a base. Did you ever? Of course you did. Played tag when you were a kid, right? Usually there's a base. It's like a swing set or a old tire or a kitchen table, for crying out loud. It could be anything that could be base for the kids in their game of tag. But as long as the child's touching base, right, in the game, then they're safe. They're safe touching. But once they venture away from base, then what can happen, kids, right? They can get tagged. So many Christians today live their entire lives, their Christian lives, just like that. They stay at base, unwilling to leave, afraid of being tagged out, afraid to share their faith with other people. And it's true. Sharing our faith is a scary, scary reality sometimes, especially in our world today that's becoming increasingly hostile to our faith. What if I told you this morning that base might not be safe at all, if that's base? What if I told you that holding on to base is more dangerous than any attempt to actually play the game, so to speak? What I mean is that our base is all wound up in something we call self-definition. A search, a quest that we're always on, trying to understand who we are. Whether we're good enough for God or for someone else or for ourselves. And on this quest, we're always judging ourselves, reassessing our lives and our choices and our actions, past and present, looking in the mirror a lot and wondering, well, we're really wondering this: who am I? Who am I? That's our base. Working on ourselves. Trying to make sure we're okay. That we're checking off all the boxes. That I'm good. Before we're going to go share our faith with somebody else. But our base is treacherous. Why? Because we don't really trust the conclusions that we're drawing about ourselves. We don't really trust those conclusions. So what do? We keep assessing ourselves and assessing ourselves and assessing ourselves every day, every night, every moment. And this activity, if you want to call it that, this indexing of ourselves is running in the background of our minds and hearts all the time. And you know what? You know what? It's using up all of our processing speed. See, when a computer's running and indexing in the background of what you're doing all the time, it's taking memory and energy from the processor so that the computer can't run as fast as it would because of the indexing that's going on constantly, constantly, constantly. We're indexing ourselves all the time, and it's depleting our memory, our strength, our emotional well-being. Sometimes it's like we can barely run a program. It wears us out. Constantly staying at base. Constantly looking for answers. How to get the energy to even serve God, really. How to engage in my Christian life like the example, especially like the example left for us by the Apostle Paul. But I got to ask, did it inspire you a little bit to hear the way he was talking about his ministry when he said that, you know, I've become all things to all people in order that I might save some? Does your mind and your heart actually kind of want to engage in that kind of thing? You can. And what if I told you you're already doing it? It's already happening. Where do you work? Where do you go to school? Where do you spend your time? Where do you relax? With friends. Being a Christian doesn't have to change anything about that. Not at all. Being a missionary, even like the Apostle Paul, it doesn't mean that we have to make one single adjustment in that regard to our everyday life and the person we already are. Because God gave you and me all those things. You are who you are because He gave you those things. Me too. And they're all blessings from Him. Your work, your home, your school, wherever you unwind, with friends, with family. And all those are His gifts. But this text from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it teaches us to see those things differently. To see our whole lives differently. Paul said, I've become all things to all people that I might, that by all means I might save some. So this is a beautiful thing. You already are who you are to all those people. Some people think that what the church is really saying, kind of cover in a covered way, is like we should all be like pastors or missionaries or professional church workers if we're going to take our faith really seriously, you know? Yeah, friends. Being a pastor actually makes it harder to share your faith outside of the church. Exponentially harder. And you know why? Because in our culture today, people don't trust us. They don't. They think that every conversation we have with them is unauthentic and that it has some kind of hook in it, you know? Like what we're really trying to do is make them into stuffy church people. They don't trust us. You're the ones that have the real mission opportunities in this. And by the way, we do this together, right? You have the mission opportunities. I'm not saying being a pastor, a professional church worker or something isn't a good thing and has a great purpose. Of course it does. But working in an office building, a school, or any other place has the reality that Paul's talking about in those verses already manufactured and built into it by God. All things to all people. That's what he says. And that's almost like a prophecy. Okay, if you think about it this way, it's almost like a prophecy about the diversity within the church on earth. I mean, they're beautiful words about the diversity of all of our lives, not just here, of course, but at every church, and how Christ lives in each one of us and does His work through us in the trenches, boots on the ground, all things to all people that I might save some. Do you see God at work in that? You see what He's doing through this powerful thing called the church on earth? He's going in every nook and cranny. He's going in every vocation, in every career and industry. And we get to share in that and have amazing opportunities to share the gospel with people just like us. But it's hard to let go of base and venture out. We think Christian life, and this happens to me too, not being like critical or judgmental or anything, but so often we think what it means to be a Christian and have a Christian life has everything to do with me and who I'm becoming and who we are. And so we're constantly indexing and indexing and indexing. And we're losing our energy. Measuring ourselves all the time like that? To see if we're really okay? To see if we're really good enough? To see if we can maybe not feel guilty? And like I said, God's got some really, really good news for us. For you. We're already all things to all people. If you see us together as church. We are. It's just the save some part of that verse. Remember he said, I'm all things to all people that I might save some. That's the part we need to remember. That's a real reason God's placed you in any relationship that you're in, by the way. To share his gifts of faith that he's given you through his word. To tell the stories of how God got you through. When you have the opportunity with those people. See, because if a pastor tells them about Jesus and about church, they might be skeptical, thinking he's got a hidden agenda and he's kind of unauthentic, just trying to get them to do something that he did. But if a coworker tells them, if a fellow teacher in a school, another student, they're a lot more likely to listen and be open to what's being said. And this is the purpose that God's given to us all. I'm kind of bouncing back here, if you don't notice, because I get excited about this. So can I get this picture of what God's doing and the massive force that this is, the church. In all of our lives, he's reaching out to lost people to tell them the truth of his love. He's doing it through you and through me, through all of us. It's this beautiful purpose. And we're blessed because we're already a part of this giant missionary force. I don't know what else to call it, you know, on earth. I'd beg you not to think little of that at all, but to see how huge and awesome that actually is. That he'd choose you or me to be on that team. That's doing this work, being all things to all people, Christ in us through his church. But the major, major good news of this whole thing is that God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you, to resurrect for you, precisely to save you and me. And that was his way of saying, friend, you're good. You're good. You're safe. Things are good between you and me. That's what the cross is saying to us. Things are good between you and me. Everywhere you go, everything you do. He said it himself, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But listen real quick here to how the scripture puts this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for our sake, he made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. That means we can stop the indexing. We can just shut it off. God, through his message of salvation in Christ, turns it off for us and says, quit it. Why are you doing that to yourself? It's running constantly in the background. I know it is, because it is in my head too. And now we can trust that who we are, baptized into Christ Jesus, is not based on how we're doing in this life. Say what? Yeah. It's based on the cross. That's what it's based on. It's no longer based on your past or your mistakes or mine or anything that we feel guilty for. Now it's based on who Jesus is and what Jesus did for you. Let me tell you, that'll free up the processor and the memory that we need. Because we're tired from running all the indexing all the time. And now we're free of it. If we're going to index, there's a place that God made for us to do that. You're actually here this morning, and so am I. Before we come up to this rail, he tells us, examine ourselves. And so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So we do. We see our sin. And we come up here repentant in faith for forgiveness. But you know what, friends? As soon as you take that bread and drink that cup, eat the body and blood of Christ himself, the life of God, then we could shut it off again. And have the energy and the processing speed to go out and be the people that God made us to be. All things to all people. Those things to those people that you know and the ministry that God has given to you. It's good news. We don't have to be measuring and doing that constantly all the time. It's not based on us. It's based on him. This is good between you and God. That's what the cross says. Listen to Paul one more time. Romans 5, verse 9. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. We're already good, friends. Justified by his blood. So we can stop the measuring of ourselves all this time and stop all those processes that we're trying to do to see who we are and if it's all okay, because it's okay because of the gospel. And we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we're here on earth. He's put us here for his very important program, his very important mission. Call it what you want. To be a part of what Paul was describing in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Being all things to all people together as his church. And getting the privilege and the honor of being used by Jesus to bring those lost lambs that he loves back home to his word and sacrament. For it's God who works this in you, both to will and to do, according to his good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our responses this morning for our prayer is, Lord, have mercy. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. In thanksgiving for Christ Jesus, sent into our flesh for his preaching of the gospel and his casting out of the corrupting works of sin and Satan, which we could not overcome on our own, and that by his word he would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. For the church, that God would give joy to his servants, on whom he has laid the necessity to preach the gospel, that many would be saved in every nation, and that together we may share in the blessings of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For all Christian homes, and for the endurance that comes from the Holy Spirit, and for husbands and wives, parents and children, that they may be disciplined and self-controlled in their duties, run their course in this life, and continue to the end in the holy Christian faith, ready to receive the imperishable prize of eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord. For our land, that the Lord who created this world's foundations and holds sway over the powers of nature and the rulers of the earth would graciously preserve it. And for our leaders and people, that God would not disregard us for our sins, but renew us, that our lives may be peaceful and our country governed according to his will. For our school here at Trinity, for our teachers, for our school board, for our staff, and for each of our members, for each member, Lord, that you brought in the doors this morning, for each person. That you would encourage them, remind them of the great thing that you've given them in their faith, and the great mission that you've blessed us all with together as your church, that we might find joy in what you've accomplished and in the message that we get to share of a world to come that we can't even imagine, that you have prepared for us. Let us pray to the Lord. For those in any need, that through our prayers they would be brought to the great physician of body and soul, whose hand turns away evil and disease and every ill effect of sin. Especially we name before you, Lord, now, Chris Gay, Emily Johnson, for a healthy pregnancy and her family, Pam Rice, Kim King, John Brownell, Ava Hoffman, Michelle Sickrist, Willadel Erke, Robert Hagedorn, Leonard V. Hill, Sean Austin, Mike Kirk, Jim and Linda Holman, Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jeery, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sunny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. In need, we bring them before the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who commune, that we would come to Christ's supper believing that where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation, and that the blood of Christ, which atoned for our sins, would make us whole, strengthen us against every spiritual attack of the devil, turn us in love toward our neighbor, and preserve us in body and soul to life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Lord, who lives and who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to join us in the praying of the Lord's Prayer. We pray as the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our tithes and offerings. As we consider what it means to give unto the Lord a portion of those things which he's blessed us with, we're reminded of the scriptures that God loves a cheerful giver, that we ought not give grudgingly or out of necessity, but as we've agreed with the Lord in our hearts to what we should give, we have that opportunity now as the offerings are collected and presented. We'll enjoy some music from our organist.
Thank you for joining us.
There's not only a search for the man police believe shot two Democratic lawmakers north of Minneapolis overnight, Friday night, in which one couple was killed. At least three people are dead. Several others are missing after flash flooding in Ohio County, West Virginia last night, say county officials. The National Weather Service reported 2.5 to 4 inches of rain fell within 30 minutes. That from Wheeling, Ohio County Homeland Security. Israel and Iran trading deadly missile and Air Force attacks for a third day. Israel warning the attacks may continue for weeks. Iran refusing to take part in nuclear negotiations. ABC News senior political correspondent Rachel Scott asking President Trump.
I asked him about that call with President Putin, and Putin maybe suggesting that for him to serve as a mediator in this conflict and in these conversations. The president told me he is open to that.
More deaths are reported at Israeli and U.S.-supported food distribution points in Gaza. This is ABC News.
Another set cued and ready to go.
Cowboys and angels.
Today's hot new country, along with all the hits from yesterday. This is KSPK.
Drink. I know it's been a while. I gotta talk to you, gotta catch you up on the hill I'm in.